You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved. The unofficial fifth line of the Leafs.
I don't think this is a mean-spirited fan base in general. I don't think it's a hard place to play. Like, we get caught up in this bubble. Like, it's so hard here. Again, Giancarlo Stanton had been in New York for like 3 days, and he gets booed off the field. Gardner's been here 8 years.
No one's allowed to
voice a displeasure.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Very important question here via text message. More embarrassing statement on this show in the past couple of months. Hayes claiming that a small horse would only weigh 70 pounds. Or O-Dog claiming that there are 52 states in America.
I think the 70-pound small horse is stupid. Like the dumbest thing that's ever been said on the show.
I don't know animals enough, so I kind of just went along with you. I'm like, yeah, I could see that.
I know, that was peer pressure. I roped you into it. Because you were kind of nodding. You're like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I really brought you down on that one.
Well, the horses are quite muscular and muscle-wise.
Well, like I guess when you say a small horse... You know, I was emphasizing small. Like, how small are we talking here? A newborn horse?
A midget horse?
Yeah, like a really tiny horse.
I was trying to, like, there's some verbiage on horses and stuff I don't know if we can use on air. I wasn't sure.
Well, why don't we get a poll question going, Al? Set up on Overdrive.
A horse's ass. That's what kind of comment that was.
Well, there is. Don sent us a video of Newhart. Remember that show?
Bob Newhart? That's before my time.
It is before your time, but he had the world's smallest horse on his show. That's probably
70 pounds. That's what I was thinking about. So get that poll question going up at Overdrive 1050. Dumber statement on this show.
Tell you what, I'm looking at some miniature horses.
70 pounds.
They're grit grinders.
No, they're not that big. But like, look at this little fat bastard. That's not a 70-pounder. No.
You know what we'll do? We'll ask all our guests throughout the rest of the day, and we'll see if we can sewer them.
I guarantee you, Ray would not know the poundage of a horse.
Okay, so we'll ask Ray. That's coming up. There have been reports out in the baseball world that Manny Machado was offered a deal by the White Sox. 7 years, $175 million. Buster Olney was reporting that. I think Bob Nightingale of USA Today. And Machado's agent has come out and called fake news. He released a statement just going crazy about how, I guess, unfair this is, how inaccurate the numbers are, how based on the CBA, I guess it's in the CBA that you're not allowed to leak details of a negotiation, which I find quite rich from the agent, because every agent does that.
Oh yeah,
if they're talking about that's
everyone does.
Scoop is filled with that.
Agents, GMs, players, they all leak, and it all happens. There's no policing of this, but Dan Lozano is his name, of MVP Sports Group, the agent for Manny Machado, and he sent out this release saying, "I have known Bob Nightingale and Buster Olney for many years, and have always had a good professional relationship with both, but their recent reporting, like many other rumors in the past several months, have been inaccurate and reckless when it comes to Manny Machado." And he keeps going and going and going. And I don't know what's so reckless about it. It's a little bit cheaper than I think a lot of people thought the numbers would be. 7 years, $175 million is not anything to sneeze at. That's a ton of money.
But it's a slap in the face to them. That's what it is.
I think they came into the season, the offseason, Machado and Harper, thinking they're getting 10-year deals.
Right.
And they're getting at least $250 to $300 million.
So, well, there was talk a couple years ago where the Bryce Harper chatter was, this is going to be the first $500 million contract ever signed.
Right.
And now that's just not happening.
That will not be happening, based on what we're seeing so far in the market.
And I hope he goes back to Washington with a $300 million offer, and they say, no, it's not on the table anymore.
I would like the agent for Harper to come out and say, that's fake news, too. It's not even close to $300 million. It's a lot lower.
Well, that's a good point. That never got shot down.
Yeah, that wasn't shot down.
That whole reporter never got shot down, that the Nationals offered him $300 million.
If that offer was inflated... If it really was 175 and it was a legitimate news story, but it was inflated, he was offered 275. The agent's not releasing a statement saying, hold on a second here.
Exactly.
Way too much.
It may be off, but it's off on the wrong end for them.
Yeah.
Because they're thinking, hey, it was actually 185, but don't cheapen it.
Yeah.
But you're right. If Buster only came out and said, we've heard that the Yankees have offered this guy 10 years, $300 million, even if it was fake, they wouldn't call him up and say, Hold on, that's bogus.
You're ridiculous.
No way. They'd be like, that's great. Get it out there. You're exactly right. Why the agent for Machado is so disturbed and so angered by this report going public is because it's cheaper than people thought it would be. And now let's say you are the Yankees. Right. Let's say you're the Yankees and you've been going back and forth with Machado. And my understanding is when they wined and dined him a couple of weeks ago, Machado wasn't ready to talk numbers. Those are the reports I've seen.
Okay.
So maybe the Yankees were willing to talk and he's like, no, I'm still going through the process. I just want to see where we're at and then we'll talk numbers down the road. If I'm the Yankees, I'm calling them up and saying, all right, I'll match that. Seven years, 175. I'm not going a penny above it. Because we're the Yankees and they're the White Sox. Who do you want to play for?
Yeah.
Where you know his agent's like, are you kidding me? Yeah. This is out there?
The Yankees thought we wanted 275 and they were willing to maybe go somewhere in that neighborhood.
Exactly.
And I'm getting a $1.85.
Exactly. The Yankees thought we wouldn't accept a penny under 250.
Right.
And now it's out there that the White Sox, based on their conversations with us, thought it was reasonable to offer 175.
That's exactly what happened. It's negotiations. And, I mean, even bring it back to hockey. Like, I think there was some good faith on both sides with the Nylander. Because, really, numbers weren't, they were floated but not floated, and it wasn't confirmed. But if one side came out and said, or leaked it that the number was a lot higher, a lot lower, I think would an agent step in and be like, hold on a second here. We weren't offered that.
I would assume that would happen. You know, and that's the right of the agent who was in the business of protecting their client and working for their client to get the best deal and in the business of the GM to do what's best for the team. Yep. But they're all skewed and they're all biased.
Yeah.
Naturally. It's a battle. You're fighting it out for the most money you can get.
In the hockey world, it's Alan Walsh. His, you know, the agent for Marc-Andre Fleury, Yaro Halak, who's the kid in Frolik, Michael Frolik. And you know how I know this? Because he tweets about them constantly.
He's always on Twitter. He uses Twitter to his advantage. He gets a message out.
Exactly. Whether you like it or not, Alan Walsh is on Twitter and he's very proactive. So, you know, that's a scenario where if one of his clients there was fake news out about it, you know he'd be yelling and screaming.
Well, for instance, look at what happened with Mitch Marner's agent last week, where he came out and he spoke through the media. He used the media, Pierre LeBrun and others, I believe, to say, we're not negotiating during the season. That's out there. I want it on the record.
Yeah.
He wanted to use the media, which is his right, it's a smart play to get the word out. And he's not doing it for the benefit of the media or the fans.
No.
That's a message for the team, which the team probably knew that. I would think he probably told them first.
Yeah.
But hey, now, because it's going to be a court of public opinion type of scenario here, well, let's let it play out. Let's let him rack up 115 points.
Yeah.
Let's let him score 35 goals. And
see what happens.
And then we'll see what happens at the end of the year.
Yeah.
You know, that's the game. That's the game we all play. There's three pillars to it. There's the teams, there's the players, and the media factors in as well. Four pillars, really, because fan reaction counts for something.
Yeah.
How much, I don't know, but something. Because I guarantee you what's happened in New York, I can guarantee you Yankee fans are saying, that's it? 7 years, 175?
Yeah, get your checkbook.
What the hell are you doing?
Let's go, yeah.
You know, so it wouldn't shock me if, you know, that somehow it came from a weird angle that way.
Surprised we haven't heard a rant of Don LaGreca.
Donnie LaGreca probably would be freaking out, although I think he's a Mets fan.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think he leans towards the Mets. Yeah.
But, you know, Machado's 26. If you can, like, the Jays should sign this guy. I know they're loaded in the mid, you know, the infield, they've got a bit of a logjam, and it's not going to happen with Machado. But let's say it came out that Harper, someone, after all these negotiations and the dancing back and forth, the Phillies offered him 8 years, $230 million.
Yeah.
Why can the Jays not spend that on Bryce Harper?
They can, but they just don't. And it's annoying to act like we're some small market team. We're not.
No. You got more money as an ownership group than anybody in the league. He's 26 years old. You put him in right field for the next 8 years. Yeah, you pay him whatever it is, $30 million a year, but he's going to be worth.
Yeah, it'd be worth a lot.
He's going to perform for you in that park. He's going to launch balls to right.
And he's going to help the kids along.
He's going to help the kids. He's the face. You know, he takes some pressure off Vladdy Guerrero Jr. There's a million different reasons why you should be interested in that.
I agree.
But it's just not going to happen. Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, will join us here in just a moment. Get his take on the line shuffling at Leaf practice today, the TSN trade board.
I thought you were going to get his take on the weight of horses.
Oh, it's a tight poll right now.
Is it?
Mini horse, 70 pounds, 48%. There's 52 states.
52%.
Of course, it's going to stay with that number.
Mike tweeting and saying, I kind of sympathize with the 52 states mistakes. You know, I sometimes confuse 52 cards in a deck, 50 states. Claiming a mini horse is actually only 70 pounds is a horrible take. Thanks, Mike. I didn't think it was a take. It was more of a suggestion.
It's just more of ignorance. You don't know.
Yeah, I'll admit to that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what a miniature horse weighs.
So if you ever see a miniature horse, you going to pick it up?
Not anymore.
You're not going to be able to.
I would if I thought it was 70 pounds. I'm happy I know this now. Exactly. This knowledge is going to save my back being blown out.
Blow out your other knee.
Or the other knee. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst. Very simple question out of the gate, Ray. A miniature horse, how much do you think they would weigh?
I have no idea. You know what is one of my favorite daily games is, as I come in and listening to a little bit before you get to me, is I wonder how they got here.
Well, you we were talking about there was a guy that was carrying his horse around that apparently got bit by a snake, and he carried him 3 miles home. And it came out that it was fake news. This guy didn't do anything. He picked up the horse.
He carried the horse. It just, the horse wasn't bitten by a snake.
So then Hayes came up with the great comment of maybe it was a mini horse because they're like 70 pounds, which is like...
Well, how would you know that?
Well, clearly I don't, because people have told me they're like 400 pounds mini horses.
So the guy said he carried his horse home.
3 miles.
Three miles. And but regular size horse, there's pictures of it and video. They're over 1,000 pounds. And this guy was walking around with it on his back.
Did the horse say, thanks, pal?
I don't know what was going on.
It's such a stupid story. Like this show in many ways, to be honest.
This is a perfect topic then.
Yeah. Does that explanation, does that suit your needs in terms of being informed how we got here?
I'm very satisfied. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway, that poll question's up. What was the more ignorant comment on this show in the past couple of months? Me claiming a miniature horse is only 70 pounds, or the O-Dog claiming that there are 52 states in America, and it's a tight race right now online.
As it should be.
Yeah, it should be. Line shuffling today. We talked about it yesterday. The idea of Hyman moving up or down, whichever way you perceive it, with Matthews, and they got Nylander. They're going flashback Wednesday, I guess, down at practice. And Babcock didn't commit to it happening tomorrow night, but I would assume it likely will. What do you make of that move that Hyman and Matthews and Nylander could be a line again tomorrow night?
Well, I mean, we talked a lot yesterday about how things just don't look right, and. You know, the one line that never got touched was Tavares' line because it's been so good this year. But unfortunately, and this might, this might tick Tavares off, because I hated when my line, for example, was going good and they took one of my wingers away because some other line stunk.
Hate
and I'm
it.
Like, well, why does it drove me crazy. I'm like, well, why does my line have to suffer? And the coach would always say, well, don't let it suffer then. So I could see where and why this is done, because you have a long book of what Hyman, Matthews, and Nylander look like. And so if you've got to do something. The team has to be balanced out. It's not going to win the way it is. We talked yesterday about it being in a funk or in a malaise, and now this is a pretty significant flap, to like a wake up flap. And I like it. I think it's the right move to make.
Yeah, I'm on board.
Yeah.
That line has had success in the past. I totally understand where you're coming from. You know, Tavares and Marner are probably thinking, wait a minute, but I would guess Babcock's return if it ever came up, would be you still got each other, right? Like, Tavares has still got Mitch Marner, and as much as you might love playing with Hyman, I would guess having 16 on his line is probably the highest priority.
Oh, I would say it is. And, you know, Johnson has done a really good job, but he's different than Hyman, right, by a lot. You know, he's tenacious and he can skate. And he's got, you know, he's got more of a scorer's touch. But I'm interested to see, like, if they don't have the puck, will they get it back as much? And I'm sure that's a question that Babcock would have. Because how do you know? You're going to find out. But when he talks about his heavy hockey and his, you know, wants to play hard, that's the type of player that he would probably be more in favor of if they had more of them. A guy like Hyman. So you play them with your skill guys, so your skill guys get the puck more because, you know, the guy doing the shovel work doesn't mind doing it because, yeah, that's what I do. That's my strength. And I don't know if Johnson quite fits that profile.
I know that Bob Murray, the GM of the Anaheim Ducks, just issued a statement. Was it over the weekend, I think?
Yeah, it was right after their loss.
They're
11th. Yeah, the 11th winless. We have to get this right. Winless in 11?
They're winless in 12 now.
I know. I watched the game.
Lost, I watched that game last night. To Detroit,
yes.
Last night. And, you know, that always screams of kind of the kiss of death when the GM has to come out and say that I'm not making a move from the coach. I'm not going to fire the coach.
Yeah.
And I understand the logic. I want to put pressure on the players, and the players have to be better. But you haven't won in 12 games, and the season, shockingly, is still
right there.
Right there. You can still get in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like they're winless in 12, and they're 2 points out of a playoff spot. What happens in Anaheim?
Well, I understand why he made the statement. I would never think it's a good idea because what if they lose the next 5 games after that statement, and then they're 3 points out of a playoff? Are you still going to let it go until they turn it around? I mean, they're on the road here. They're, Noodles, did you say you watched the game last night?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, it looked like they might not score ever again.
I know, and lost in all of this, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Silverberg and Kessler got hurt last night.
Like, I mean, not to defend Carlisle, but they haven't had a team all year. But nonetheless, as you point out, they're still right there.
Yeah.
And I don't know how long a promise or a pledge can hold water.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't know. Like, you can't let this thing just run headlong into the ditch and then roll around in the ditch for a while. Like,
well,
it's still there. Like, all they got to do is put any team that can put together 3 weeks of good play, they might run away from this pack of teams that are all tripping on each other in the Western Conference.
And they've done it. Actually, leading into this 12-game win list, they were 9 of 10. That they went on a ridiculous run. They won 9 of 10. That shot them up past everyone in that. I think they were at one point second in the Pacific.
They were up with Calgary and San Jose.
Right there.
And Vegas,
but San Jose's come on lately. They were ahead of San Jose.
Well, San Jose's won 7 straight now, right?
Exactly. And they look like they're starting to figure it out.
But my goodness, like, Anaheim is they're a train wreck right now.
Yeah.
They can't score. I mean, they never score. And they've wasted an unbelievable season by John Gibson.
Yep. Agreed.
Well, if Bob Murray didn't sign an extension, he should be under the gun. Like,
well, they are. The only way I can defend him is they are leading the league in man games lost by a lot, I believe. It's not just Corey Perry, who had a bad season last year. Like, it has been, you know, some of their, like, Cam Fowler, their number one defenseman, just came back the other day. Ricard Raquel just came back. Like, they can't stay healthy, and I'm not making excuses for them. They have to be better, but it just, like you said,
use 20 forwards.
Yeah, it's crazy. They're just rolling through. Like, Pontus Åberg is their second leading scorer.
I think. And now he's getting scratched.
He's a scratch. Yeah. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Randy, he's been in these situations before, Randy Carlisle.
I know. Good one, Randy.
Yeah, good one, Randy. And it's not like he's in uncharted territory.
Oh, yeah.
Sadly for him. But You know, you look at the trade bait board is out, and I wasn't looking to see what Anaheim might have featured on the board. I don't think they've got anybody because they don't really have much to trade at this point. But
I think Silverberg's a pending unrestricted free agent.
Okay,
I think,
so,
and Bob Murray is talking about trying to at least get him sorted out. If not, then he'll be on that list. I thought I read that.
The tough part, you know, like for a lot of times for us guys, that, you know, it's easy to say, well, they should move some veterans and build for the future. You've got to have that okay from their owner. And I don't know in Anaheim if that's an easy market to rebuild in. Like, for years they said it about Toronto, and I thought it was always really dumb. I'm like, man, the people in Toronto would understand. They would get a rebuild. They'd say, yeah, I understand. We've got to get younger. It's going to take some time. But I don't know if the hockey fan in Anaheim would have the patience to sit through a couple of years of complete player turnover. And maybe that's why they've chased and chased and chased. And not only do they have Perry and Getzlaff on long deals, Kessler is on a really long deal as well. Like, those guys they're not younger, they're not healthier. They've all had really significant injury to their career.
Well, I mean, now that the trade bait board is up there, it's go time for the next 6 weeks. You know, every day someone else's name is going to be a target of
discussion.
Which is
great, though. I mean, I'm kind of excited about it. And, you know, do you think that, I mean, we know, I guaranteed Kyle Dubas is being proactive, but I still think he's got something going underneath, you know, behind the scenes that he's going to, like, it may not be somebody on that trade bait board. It could be somebody at a left field, just knowing the way the Leafs work, and maybe they're targeting somebody that, you know, we don't know is available.
Well, and that could speak to some of the leaks that have come out here, Ray. Like, we were talking about this in the previous hour. The insiders, they're saying that first-round pick for the Leafs is out. You know, it's available. And if that was coming out of any other team, you'd say, yeah, I understand that. The GM probably told the reporter that.
Right.
But that doesn't happen with the Leafs. They don't let anything leak. And for some reason, this information seems to be out there.
Yeah, it's certainly a change from the past. I mean, you couldn't get Lou to say it was Wednesday today. He'd say maybe, but not in Europe.
You right. know?
And so that is a change for sure. I did get a little chuckle today. I read that Drake's had that, you know, Florida's open for business, and Dale Tallon has said that Bogdan Kizilevich is available. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you see the mentions?
Yeah, like, no, I didn't. Was it open seats?
Just go and look at Drags' mentions after that, because they're pretty funny. There's some people being like, okay, hold our horses. And
I'll be honest, I read it live, and I was like, I don't know how, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Like, who's that guy getting traded for?
It means give us a call, and we'll actually talk about other players, but it just...
this is the guy's feelings that we don't care that much
just,
about.
Just check the mentions below. You'll get a chuckle.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Good stuff, buddy. Tomorrow, Tampa Leafs. We'll tee it up. It's biggest game of the year to date tomorrow night. We can't wait for it.
Okay, I'm giving you a project.
All right.
I want you to find out how much a small horse weighs.
Well, it depends. There's all kinds of different ones. There's like little ponies.
Well, for Hayes to be able to, you know, like he can't carry it, but to...
I'm saying...
You know, like to, like, can you lift up like a mini horse? Like, are there such things?
Yeah, they're like toy ponies, I think they're called.
Yeah, we could. I mean, I still think they're 250 pounds. Like, I wouldn't be able to carry one.
Jeez. And we you don't. Thought they were... And he thought they were...
And I bit.
70 pounds.
I'll admit that I bit because I don't know animals. I'm like, yeah, it sounds about right. I don't know. Like.
And then Noodles followed it up with, I think they bite, too.
Well, they're mean. I think they're mean. I think they've got a mean streak to them.
That sounds like a Monty Python skit. What's he going to do, nibble your bum?
Takes your hand off.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's my homework for tonight. By tomorrow, I will find a horse that weighs 70 pounds.
We should check to see if they're, like, horses are for sale, like in Kentucky and stuff.
Well, I'm finding a horse.
Check the weights on some of them.
Yeah, I'm finding a horse. Amazon.
Guy's too heavy for me. He's too heavy. I need a light horse.
I need a 70-pound horse.
Just go on eBay and type in 70-pound horse. Yeah.
It'll be somebody built it in their basement.
That's what I'm worried about. It'll be exactly.
Be a hobby horse.
Be Buffalo Bill's personal horse. That's what I need. It'll have human skin.
It'll just be me with a mane.
Well, you got to shave some pounds if that's the case. Me too, buddy. All right, Ray. We'll do it tomorrow at 5.
Good luck. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm going to need it. Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Is the 2019 Toyota Corolla the safest vehicle on the road? See for yourself during Maple Toyota's Corolla-thon and get rates from 0% MapleToyota.com. Jerry's Percentages, the hottest takes in the world. Next.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's Percentages.
I don't love being commissioner as much as I used to. I actually love it even more.
That's the voice of a
Hall of Famer.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
And Jerry's Percentages is brought to you by BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, from 2 people to 300. Let BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, do the cooking. Head on down to 942 The Queensway or online at bestpc.ca. Jerry's Percentages, the hottest takes in the Western Hemisphere. Maybe in the world. Let's see what he's got in store this week.
Yes.
I'd like to take this opportunity to speak directly to Jerry Gardner. Another proud American being booed by dopey Canadians. They don't boo the irrelevant Jerry Gardner. They only boo the legends. On that note, the booing of Jerry Gardner will carry over to the next home game Sunday night.
These sons of b****s better watch themselves. Jerry Gardner might say adios.
Why is he calling him Jerry Gardner?
It's really funny.
Jerry Gardner. And apparently only legends get booed. He isn't wrong about, they don't boo the irrelevant.
You're
they
right.
Don't know you. You don't find any passion from the fan base.
You're not relevant enough to deserve a boo.
But I don't think he's right about this take. The original Jerry is claiming that the boos will continue Sunday night when they're back home against Arizona. I'm at 20%. There might be a couple of heroes that show up and think, let's start a movement
here.
Well,
that's the weird thing to put a percentage on it, because are we talking there'll be zero boos at all? Or
let's say, you know, enough where it picks up on TV, where you can hear people booing it when he touches
and
the
puck. They talk about it, like saying we're hearing boos again or whatever.
Exactly. I'm 20%. I don't think so, but I got to leave the door open a little bit.
I'm going to go 30% because I think people are stupid and they like to attach themselves to something and say, I can do something at a sporting event. We'll get us talking, get TV talking.
For the
stupidity alone, I'll say 30%.
I'm lower on this. I'm 8%. There's some games in front of this. And I think from what I got feedback yesterday from people and talking to people, it sounds like it may have been more situational. People were very upset. You know, people reached out to me and said, like, that's, you know, it's kind of a building of a scenario. I think we had Nick
the mob
caller
mentality.
On mob mentality.
Yes, that happens.
I think it could be a one-off, and people realize, like, hey, you know, the thing is more. It's like that's where I was shocked. Like it's January. Like it's a mid-January game and all that. But like I get it.
Well, you guys made the point. It's important points, and I think you know a lot of people would concede this. Jake Gardner, you know, he's a polarizing player,
right.
But he's way down the list of actual concerns.
Oh yeah.
You know, he's a guy. He's durable. He plays. He gives you minutes. Is he the perfect player? Of course not. But if it's based on, you know, actual performance, Gardner should not be close to the top of the list. I just think it was
situational.
There's a rich history with Gardner and his fan base. There are people that like him. There are people that don't.
Mm-hmm.
And that speaks to his longevity here. And it was a bad play. He got burned, and then the
people
mob picked up on it.
I'm low on this. I think I'm 8%. I just think
low,
people move past it.
I hear that lazy slob Hayes has big plans to do nothing but sit on his fat ass and watch football this Sunday. Well, he's in for a doozy because the combined score of the two games will exceed 120 points.
That fat bastard Hazy B will be mucking pizza and lasagna all day long.
That sounds very compelling. pizza and lasagna.
Would you double dip like
how
that, though?
You would feel after that? Like, a lasagna puts me into a coma.
Yeah, you're comatose. If you take down, like, a half sheet of lasagna, you're in big trouble.
Half sheet. Have you ever
do
done
that? Forget like, about have you the ever pizza. Get into a half
in your
sheet.
Days. In your days,
when I was the heavyweight champion of the world, I don't know about a half sheet, but over the course of like 24 hours,
if you have a growl on, you could crush a half a lasagna.
I don't think I've ever done that.
My wife,
career.
You know, she makes the best lasagna
in
the world.
She's a great cook.
And that used to be our kind of thing early. The big guy would
she's
be coming
like,
over for the weekend.
This fat pig Hazy. The moose is coming over. I got to carb load him up.
See, I need this guy to fall asleep. I just want to be left alone. It's too,
he would look
it's
out
the
window and be like, Hazy B, this tub of garbage is coming in here for lasagna. Fat.
Anyway, what was the take here? Combined 120 points for both games. That would suggest, on average, each team is going to score 30 points.
That's 30.
That's way too 10% high.
10% on that, especially with the cold weather apparently coming up in Kansas City.
Yeah, they're saying it's going to be below freezing in Kansas City, a lot of snow. And the thing is about these cherry-picked stats when it comes to Brady, right, is they're all going to be positive. You know, like people are pointing this out, that when he plays in certain temperature, he's 24-4. All he does is win.
Yeah, so they're all going to be positive. Like, find me one that's not positive.
Exactly.
That applies to this game.
But you can't, like, in the rain, he's 20-3. Yeah, I know. He's Brady.
And he's
he
had that
everywhere.
Long of a career.
He's got that kind of sample size and those type of elements. But
I'm 6%
on this. Yeah, I'm low. I know that the top four offenses in the league, they have the capabilities of blowing past this. Like, both games could be 45-41. They could be.
Yeah.
But all four defenses played well last week.
Plus, I will bet that there's going to be one missed field goal / extra, like the kick or something.
That's another thing. Yeah, it's too much. Where are you guys at? You guys are both
6%.
I'll say 11%. I'll just go on the other side, but we're all low on that.
The Raptors and Maple Leafs both have 37 games left in their seasons, and they'll combine for at least 50 wins over that stretch.
Wow, that's a big number, too. I think the Raps will pull their weight. You know, I think the NBA down the stretch, there are a lot of teams tanking. The Raptors
combined for 50 wins?
That's 25 50, each, really.
50 of the final 74 combined.
Ooh, that's a bit rich.
25 and what, 12 apiece.
For both, I'm saying 0%.
But the Raptors could win 30, and then the Leafs got to win 20.
Yeah, and there's...
I just think things start to buckle down at this point. I don't see it happening. I'm going 10% on that as well. That's just...
Okay. I'm higher, and I'll explain why I'm a little bit higher. I'm not crazy high. I think the Raps are going to keep rocking. I think the Raps get 25 wins over the remaining 37 games. Mm-hmm. 25-12 for them in this... I think they cruise to that personally. They've gotten all... You know, Golden State's out of the way. Going out west is out of the way. The Leafs, I think, are in the rut right now.
Yes,
I think they break out of it and get rocking again. I do. I still think they're gonna rack up 107, 108 points.
What are you?
I'm gonna say.
I'm gonna go low. So you go.
I'll say 40%.
Yeah, I'm 6%. I think it's 25.
It's a lot of
37. Like if we're just cutting it in.
But it's a combined, right? Like the Raps, I think, can get. They could go 30-7.
But here's the other thing too, the Kawhi factor, resting, all of that fun stuff could factor in on the Raptor side.
And if they're running away, they may shut it down the last week or two.
I could see, you know,
okay,
Kyle,
that's reasonable.
Kawhi getting a little bit of bench time.
Rob Gronkowski will retire at the end of the season.
That son of a bitch will be in Vegas forever and ever and ever.
His post-game maneuvers might break the record books. He may go broke at some point. Like, he kind of feels
what
like...
What happens to that guy?
Where is his money and what's he spending it on? I don't know. But I'm pretty high on this one. There's been a lot of smoke the past couple of years. Like, last year I thought he might retire.
You think they win? Say they win.
I don't even know if it matters. He's a beaten down guy, and he's talked about it before. He's got a lot of money. He's got a brand that he can carry with him beyond football.
He'll be DJing like Shaq or something.
And they'll pay him $50,000 to show up at clubs. Like, he's got that type of brand. brand following him around. But he's had a lot of injuries.
Give him a camera and a mic and send him to the Super Bowl. Like assignments like that, he'll be killing it.
Yeah, he will be. I'm pretty high on this. I'm not sure Gronkowski plays another game in Foxborough. And
I think 65% he retires.
I'm going to say 75%. I think there's just way too much smoke. I don't think this is like a Roethlisberger. Last year, there were reports that at the end of the year, he was ready to shut it down. And then he left, and it took a month or two, and then he was like, all right, I'm feeling okay, I'm back, I want to play. Yeah. I think he sees the writing on the wall here, too, that Brady and Belichick, this could be it for them. Right. You know, maybe they got another year or two, but he's had so many injuries in his back and his knees and forearms and
what
concussions. 75%.
I'll go 51%. Just a little bit lower than you guys.
Fun fact, big Nick Foles stole Jerry's nickname. And Foles will have better overall stats next season than Carson Wentz.
BDG. Nick Foles, better overall stats than Carson Wentz.
0%. I think Carson Wentz is just a phenomenal talent who's gone through injuries and he's going to get it back on track.
This is a really difficult, Jerry's, because we don't even know where Nick Foles is playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, where's he going to go? And what kind of weapons is he going to have around him? What kind of coach is he going to have? Is he going to be on a good team, bad team? When are they going to trade him?
I think Wentz for me. So I don't know if it's zero or I'll go 5%.
I can't go zero. I mean, Foles deserves some credit for the way he's played when he stepped in.
But I think Foles is... It's not like it's a Cinderella story, but it's
pretty close.
There could be it could strike midnight here sooner than later.
Well, yes, I could see that. Like a rude awakening, now you get him out of Philly, and he's on a team that's not that great, and the high expectations. I'm in the minority because I think Wentz has a better opportunity. I'm not convinced Wentz stays healthy, though.
Yeah, that's another
scenario. Another season where he's went out, and this year when he was healthy, his numbers weren't that great. You know, 2 years ago, he was an MVP candidate. This past year, he looked rusty. 30% that BDN has better overall stats than Carson Wentz.
Wow.
BDG.
BDG.
Fun fact.
You had to say that on the radio, weren't you?
Well, not really.
No.
Zach Hyman will spend at least 51% of his remaining shifts this season playing with Austin Matthews.
That is a spicy take from Jerry.
I'm going to say 100%.
Nope, not for
100%.
Not for me.
I think he's going to go back with that line. I think it's going to work. William Nylander is going to get back dialed in, and it's all going to work.
I don't know.
I'm not at 100%. I mean,
I am.
He spent more than half the season playing with the two other guys.
Yeah.
From start until here. He's like this... I think there's a chance because I do think they're going to play tomorrow night. And if it gets Matthews going, and that's important to get him going and Willie going, it's not only going to be Zach Hyman. To be fair to Matthews and Nylander, if they both play well tomorrow night, it's not just because Zach Hyman was on the line.
No.
But I don't know if Babcock ever wanted to move him from that line. Babcock was committed to Hyman playing with Matthews every shift for 2 years.
Yeah.
And then Tavares signs and immediately actually we're going to shift some things around.
Well, and there was,
rumblings about why that might have been and maybe who wanted change or whatever. But this may have been what Babcock wanted the whole time. He may have wanted this. So.
You're high?
51% that he spends 51% of his shifts on that line.
I'm 36%. I think there's a lot of moving parts, still a lot of road left. And. Babs has the luxury of juggling some players. So I think it can work, but if it doesn't, you can move them around.
Someone just sent us an email of the O-Pony. It's unnecessary.
Is it?
Well, it's the O-Dog as a pony.
It's his face
superimposed into a pony.
Is it good? Does he have a mane?
Yeah, you got a mane. Just a little squirt.
Just a little grit grinder.
It's a quarter horse.
Pro barrel.
A 70-pound O-Pony.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
I love it. All right, we'll update the poll. There you have it, Jerry's for another week. Bob McKenzie's coming up tomorrow, I believe. Our buddy Jack Armstrong will be joining us. Paul McLean is going to be on about Randy Carlyle and coaching in the NHL. We got a lot coming up in the 6 p.m. hour. Big, big game tonight in Boston as well. We're teeing that up. Raptors, Celtics. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right. right, our buddy Jack Armstrong live from Boston tonight. Raptors, Celtics, and generally whoever's at home wins in this series. We mentioned this stat earlier. Only once in the last 10 outings between these two teams has the road team actually picked up the win. And that was the Raptors in Boston back in 2016. And there might be some concern coming off. You know, they had two games over the weekend on Sunday night, Sunday afternoon. They went into double overtime against Washington. But they had an off day on Monday. They've been in Boston since Sunday night, I believe. Mm-hmm. There's no reason why they're not ready to play tonight. You know, Kawhi, and I understand they've been easing him in. And
right.
Kyle Lowry's had the back problems. But for the most part, you know, Valanciunas isn't playing. I don't think Ananobi's going. But they're going to have... they're going to have their heaters going. You know, Serge Ibaka, he generally plays well against Boston. It's interesting what's happened with Kyrie Irving, because he was calling out his teammates over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And he got himself out of Cleveland, I think, because now it makes more sense. He got out of Cleveland because he knew what was coming in Cleveland.
He knew LeBron was
out. He knew LeBron was leaving, and he wasn't going to be left with that kind of dumpster fire, the carcass.
Yeah.
And the Cavaliers are maybe the worst team in the league. They're a joke, and they're tanking, and... they're awful without LeBron.
Right.
And Kyrie Irving didn't want to be a part of that. So I can understand that. But there was also some reports and believes that Irving just didn't want to be around LeBron anymore, because LeBron was playing the veteran hero, big brother, do this, do that, you don't know how to do this.
Soaking up all the oxygen in the room.
Yes. But now Kyrie Irving is doing the exact same thing in Boston. He's morphing into LeBron because they lost, I think, against Orlando over the weekend. And the Celtics have had some drama all year because they play well against the good teams and they just mail in games against the bad teams. But he called out the younger guys and said they don't know how to win. And I guess what I'm saying is what goes around comes around. And eventually we all morph into our parents. And young athletes eventually all morph into the veterans. And they all say
some
the same
young guy's
stuff.
Guys going to leave Boston because they can't stand Kyrie Irving.
It wouldn't shock me. You know, if in 3 or 4 years, if Jason Tatum's like, I got to get out of here. This guy's too much. He doesn't shut up. It's everything's got to go through him. You know.
Right. Do you think he lasts there though? Like,
well,
that's
he's up at the end of the year, Kyrie Irving, and he's told everyone he wants to stay in Boston.
But I mean, if he becomes disruptive and they're not happy with, you know, they may have to make a decision as to go with the young guys, and you know what I mean?
They
move
might,
past him.
They might, based on money and based on, you know, who gives them the best chance to win in terms of the game plan and the ball going through their hands.
Right.
But generally speaking, you know, the coaches and the management, they love that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the I'm a vet, I'm a pro, I do it right every day stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like Babcock preaches that all the time.
You know, like feed his family.
Yeah, like if Mitch Marner came out and said the exact same thing that John Tavares said, I'll bet you, like, Babcock would, like, mock the Marner comment, but he'd love the Tavares comment.
Yeah.
Speaking of basketball, the spicy meatball, did you hear about Kanter for the Knicks?
Enes Kanter, what happened? With Turkey in his home country?
Yeah, he's been accused of terrorist acts. And...
yeah, but listen, that I don't know enough about it. I'd have to read more into it, but there have been some weird reports with, like, back in Turkey, they want him, and... he's been critical of the president, I guess, and like
just caught my attention because you don't ever see that stuff.
Like Hidu Turkoglu is involved in that. Like it's some weird stuff going on there.
He just doesn't. He better not go back.
But
there,
I think
then.
That's basically what's been concluded. You can't go home because if you do, you may never get out. Jack Armstrong on the game tonight. We'll get back into the TSN trade bait board, the NHL trade deadline about 6 weeks away. And Paul McLean, longtime NHL coach and player, will join us as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.
You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved.